Welcome back. This is Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Today we're kicking off a new series of reports we call the Kiwi Sydney Experience. We spoke to a variety of New Zealanders living in Australia and asked them how they're doing and what they're up to. And we start today with TVNZ's Australia correspondent Garth Bray. We caught up with him early in the morning on his way to the airport to go to Alice Springs to report on the Howard government's initiatives there.
Now to our Australia correspondent Garth Bray, who spent a fair bit of time with Hone Harawira in Alice Springs. So Garth, what has he been up to?
Well, Wendy, he's been a fairly busy boy indeed. If you'll remember, the National Party criticised the Select Committee's trip to Victoria, saying that there'd only be about 20 hours worth of meetings there. On my calculations, I think Hone Harawira put in about a 17-hour day yesterday from early morning calls to when I caught up with him last night out on a night patrol. So he's probably done more work in one day than he would have done in the whole week with the Select Committee. Alice Springs, after dark, we've been invited to join a night patrol. The Indigenous people have set this up. They have no police powers, but they help people from the town camps surrounding Alice, picking up drunks and stopping fights. Hone Harawira is going along for the ride as well. At this camp south of Alice, there's a party going on, but there's also a sick child inside, somewhere. Someone clearly hasn't appreciated the attention. A sound like a gunshot turned out to be a rock lobbed at our car.
I'm standing in the foyer of the headquarters of the ABC in Sydney. It is vast. You could fit the whole of the TVNZ building into a corner of this one. And this is where the Australian correspondent for TVNZ makes his home on the fourth floor, Garth Bray.
Morning, David.
We've just come through elaborate security here to get to your office about four floors up. Is this something that you encounter a lot more in Australia, this security consciousness?
Well, we've got APEC in a month's time, so that's certainly heightened things. I mean, I was at a friend's birthday party down near the Opera House a few weeks ago, and you had Black Hawk helicopters flying over with their lights out, and people short roping down onto buildings not far from there, and it's kind of a security state in some sense. They've got loudspeakers they've just installed all around the city, which kind of make it look like Beijing 1975 style. You keep expecting them to announce the weekly specials.
So the life of a foreign correspondent, that's all glamour, I take it?
Absolutely. You know, the instant access to all areas and so on. Look, in a sense, I'm in Australia, which I don't know if it always feels that foreign. So, and maybe it's a bit of a soft landing too. But look, you're just constantly on the lookout. You're never really quite relaxed because you never know when the call's going to come. You're mindful that in a nation of 21 million people and with these vast distances, you're the only guy that's there. So there's a little bit of tension and a little bit of stress there.
Does it feel as though you're more in the mainstream of the world crossroads?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty tremendous appetite for foreign news here amongst Australians, and they definitely see themselves as a bit of a middle power. You know, they're aspirational, as John Howard would say. And I guess, you know, the events of the last few years, they decided to send troops to Iraq. It's brought them very much to the forefront of all of those issues. And this is an incredibly multicultural society. It's something that really struck me after being here for just over a year, that just the huge diversity of different peoples and nations that have washed up on these shores.
Do you feel more like an observer or a participant after a year?
I feel like I can open my mouth. Before I came here, I talked to quite a few different people who'd spent time in Australia, and one of them was a former High Commissioner. He said, my advice to you is just keep your mouth shut for a year. It's obviously impossible if you're meant to be a reporter, but he said, look, you'll rush to all kinds of judgments, and just try and take a look at the place, because you know, plenty of people have come here and tried to draw their own conclusions. I feel like I'm a more qualified observer is probably the better way to put it.
You talk about that complexity of the place. It does make you wonder about the capacity of a politician like Howard to have that ability to sense some kind of common mood that won him a series of elections. It does seem to be eluding him now, though, doesn't it?
Well, you can't win a trick, as they say. He's an interesting guy. I obviously haven't had much chance to get very close to the man because, you know, as with every large nation, the bigger it is, the further you get from your politicians. Working my way through his biography at the moment, which has just come out and which was probably the most well-publicised book in Australia this year. They were dropping out segments of it through the papers and revealing all kinds of cunning details, like the way that his wife was having his third child and he refused to break the speed limit or drive down a one-way street, even though she was sort of giving birth in the car on the way to the hospital, as it were. So he's a man who's...
utterly controlled.
and mindful.
Yeah, mindful of the consequences of all of those actions, I'd say.
But it must be hard to read that something of that complexity. What is it about them that you think makes it possible to get a sense?
Gosh, I'd say everyone leans pretty heavily on their polling these days, don't they? There was a pretty embarrassing release this week with a market research firm that Howard and the Liberals use, which basically detailed all the things they needed to do to try and turn this around. And it was dated a couple of weeks ago, no, 2 months ago, a month and a half ago. And it's basically a blueprint for what they've been doing over the last 6 weeks, trying to blame each of Australia's states for the problems that they're in, and trying to shift some of the blame away from where they've gone wrong.
That has a New Zealand element to it, doesn't it? That's Texter Crosby, who appear in Hello Men.
it's a fascinating part of Australian society that you see all these people roped in to try and help out, keep the ship running. As you say, it is incredibly complex, and just getting around the place. You really do wonder how they can try and get a sense of the national mood. I guess it's a different system from ours, though. It's an old school system, so they really focus heavily on those little marginal seats, and maybe it's easier to take the pulse in places that matter.
Yes, of course, that is a first past the post regime, isn't it? And that Texter Crosby, how large is the operation, do you know?
Look, honestly, I have had nothing to do with the guys. I suspect it's a bunch of people working away in a call centre somewhere. No, I mean, they seem to be pretty well connected, you know, friends of the Liberal Party and former employees and so on. And
but the mood does seem to be that Rudd will get the job.
I think everybody's just cautiously watching how this guy has managed to avoid making any mistakes and basically almost shadow Howard with a lot of the policies. They seem to be picking two or three areas like climate change, where they're going all out and saying, no, we're a different kind of beast completely. But in most areas, it's me too the whole way. And the comparisons are, you look at Kevin Rudd and you see John Howard with a few extra inches and shorter eyebrows.
the politics are doubtless be the most seductive, I guess, of rounds you want to do here. But when you're covering a whole continent as a one-man band, how do you prioritise that?
Look, I think just about every journalist that comes to this country is looking at stuff that's really going to make an impact. And arguably, it's the kinds of stories that just make people sit up and take notice and, in a sense, confirm some of the stereotypes we probably hold about Australia, like your shark attacks and your dangerous snakes and things like that, which I have to admit I haven't seen an awful lot of myself in my travels unless I've gone looking for them. You're looking, I suppose, for points of difference, and you're looking for areas, or I do anyway, where Australia's society or laws or personalities or people actually influence what's happening in New Zealand, because you see that a lot in business.
Can you think of an instance where you felt to yourself, this really is very different from home?
We were trying to get some pictures of Long Bay Prison, and it's a fairly high security jail, but it's in suburban Sydney, out near Maroubra, near the beach. And we'd been invited to go there, essentially, and get some pictures by one branch of the system. And it's a justice health system. They're basically a hospital for prisoners. And these people hadn't told the prison we were coming, and so the cameraman was just filming outside, and I went off and did something else. And next thing, I'm getting calls. I'm being arrested, basically. There are security guards swarming all over the car saying we want the tapes and so on. And to cut a long story short, I wound up with a really long, furious conversation with the corrections media people saying, for goodness sake, we're trying to do a positive story about how you spend all these millions of dollars making prisoners well again. I'm sure it's something that you have to convince people really hard you ought to be doing. And yet you've hauled my cameraman away and you've taken 12 of his tapes. And this guy was just like, wow, look, you know, you may speak English, but you're in Australia. You're not in your own country anymore. And I thought, centuries of trans-Tasman rivalry, I don't know. I think I was just another name.
Actually, you've touched on something that is has always intrigued me, and that is the depth of crime and law enforcement here. There does seem to be a dimension we don't get back home.
All carry guns. I mean, you go to a sports game or a flood, for goodness sake. You're down at the riverbank watching the emergency service volunteers trying to drag a car out of the river. And there are four or five police officers standing around with guns on their hips. Like, they're going to shoot the tree if it moves or something. You just think, does it really need to be that militarized? But I guess it's back to that kind of Ned Kelly Bush Ranger era that they haven't made the transition from.
And you've had an Anzac Day here now, haven't you?
I have.
How was that?
Long day, very long day. Early in the morning to get up. I think I was living near King's Cross at the time. As I passed by, I was waylaid by a bunch of people playing two-up in a mound of sand, which for anyone that's never heard of it, is a game where numbers of people, drunk or otherwise, spend hundreds of dollars sometimes, literally flipping coins. They bet on whether two coins are going to come up, both heads, both tails, or odds and evens. And I participated in some of this much later in the day once I discharged my duties. The ceremony itself, yeah, was pretty profound. I mean, you know, a couple of thousand people standing around, or tens of thousands probably, in Martin Place in the rain. Didn't hear a whole lot of New Zealand in there. I mean, the last couple of years they've really acknowledged it, I think, thanks to the efforts of a few ex-servicemen that are saying, hey, there's an N and a Z in there. But it was very much kind of the Australian National Day. And back to Howard, I think that sense of anticipating the mood. In politics, sometimes you create the mood. So he's gone out of his way to really wrap himself in that tradition and uphold what he calls some have called the three cheers version of Australian history, rather than the black armband, you know, the reconciliation or not with Aborigines and all those other issues that sort of perplex and plague the rest of us looking in going, well, you know, what's going on in this place?
It must be a little frustrating seeing the dimensions of some of these stories, knowing that there's one particular angle you have to report on. I suppose you have to let a few stories go.
Got to scratch the kiwi, yeah. You've got to try and, you know, touch New Zealanders in a way as well, so that's always a tough one.
And you're about to get on a plane to Northern Territory?
That's right, off to Alice Springs to look at, I guess, how things are rolling out there. We've seen a lot of the pictures and so on, and this week the government's putting into effect all the measures it has to ban alcohol and ban porn and roll in large numbers of services and spend something like $500 million, which is the bit that kind of, I think, wins it back for some people. It's like, well, okay, it seems extreme, but at least they're doing something, and for decades, really, governments haven't touched the place.
And there isn't often reason to get out into those remote places for you, unless there is a Kiwi dimension, is there?
Yes and no, but I'd say news is mostly about people and what they're doing, and you tend to stick where the people are. So those are the major metropolitan centres, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, which I'm told by the moving company that shifted me here is their number one destination for moving people from New Zealand. So there's a fair sprinkling of Kiwis around those parts.
You really do get to meet people and hear from them in a way that you won't if you're just living here, don't you? Because you've got a microphone and a camera.
Oh, the camera's an instant passport usually. And this is one of the things I actually enjoy a lot about Australia. I don't know if it comments too favourably on the Kiwi psyche, but no Australian will ever leave you wondering what they're thinking. They are very blunt and they are very confident about what they have to say. So you're more likely to rock up to someone and actually get a good opinion, a strong opinion, you know, or at least a word out of them.
TVNZ's Garth Bray there in Sydney. Coming up after the break, Chris Trotter on his new book, No Left Turn.